You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Fashion. Turn to the left.
Fashion.
Turn to the right.
Fashion.
It's fashion with Penelope Noir.
Morena Penny, kei te pihi a koe.
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Where are we going in the world of fashion this morning?
Well, there's been a kind of like resurgence of chainmail in fashion. Not chainmail core, maybe like disco ball core.
Ooh.
Is what we can like, I don't know, nominate the term, I guess. And like Versace had some kind of liquid metal kind of dresses at their recent show. But also Paco Rabanne and H&M have done a collaboration.
Chainmail collaboration.
Yeah. And wow. Like we spoke about Paco Rabanne earlier this year because he died in February, and he rose to prominence in the 60s for his use of like metal, plastic and unconventional materials. And it was kind of used in a space age kind of futuristic way. And Coco Chanel once famously said he's a metal worker, not a couturier,
yes.
Which is pretty funny. And they had a big launch party and didn't tell anyone what was happening, but Cher and Robin were performing in key pieces.
Oh, my God. What an iconic combo.
Awesome, eh? So Cher wore, like, a bra that was, because the pieces are kind of like, you know, smaller tops. It's not full-on chainmail. And Robin wore a full headpiece, which is quite full-on.
Oh, my God.
And, yeah, like Rabanne once said, that chainmail represents a moment where women emerged to be warriors because they needed to affirm their desire of emancipation, freedom and liberty. And the armour was necessary, was almost a necessity, sorry. So that made me want to look at how chainmail was, you know, how it got invented, I guess.
Totally.
And it was developed in the 3rd century BC by ancient Celts, although there's some evidence of 4th century Etruscan wear.
Whoa.
Yeah, so it's
that
been around for
old.
A really long time.
That is old as.
And if you're interested in this kind of stuff, you can look up all the kind of different pieces that have been found. Mm. And it's really quite interesting because it does survive, like,
yeah,
pretty much intact. It was made out of wrought iron, most commonly, and sometimes bronze. And it was, like, either banged out into sheets of flat iron and then pulled through a kind of die cut to get the correct size and diameter, or it was beaten down into rods and then the wire was turned into rings and then riveted. So they used them to construct hauberks, which were short-sleeved or sleeveless shirts originally. And then because the Celts were used as Hellenistic mercenaries, the Greeks adopted chainmail as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is like, this is one of those things when you think about things being old and then you kind of can no longer conceptualize how far back in history that is.
Yeah,
it starts to hurt your brain a bit, eh?
It's like primordial fashion.
Yeah, totally. Primordial core. And then it's said that it takes about 40,000 rings of iron or bronze to make the chainmail that has, say, sleeves to the elbows and longer, like round to about to the knees.
Right.
And they weighed about 11 kilos, which is quite a lot, really.
Yeah.
And it spread from North Africa, West Africa, Middle East, Central Asia, India, Tibet, Southeast Asia and Japan. So it really kind of went across the world, but the patterns were different. And originally it was like four to one, so four rings on one ring, if that makes sense.
Yes, yep.
But if you look at them, they're kind of like really intricate and different nationalities, you know, like different nations have made them in different ways, which is pretty cool. And in the 14th century AD, plate armour and chainmail was worn, so I don't know how much that weighed, but it must have been huge.
Oh, I bet.
And it's weird because I was like thinking, well, does that actually work? And apparently it worked really well if the weapons were quite thick and blunt. They couldn't get through the chainmail, but and surgeons were much better at setting fractures and breaks than they were in curing cuts because of infection. So that's why it kind of made things, you know, better by wearing chainmail.
That's so interesting, eh? It's one of those things where I also always think about how heavy it must have been, especially, you know, you're going into battle or whatever and you've got all sorts of other stuff that you're carrying. You'd have had to be so strong, like physically strong, to just wear the
bare minimum, just
wear the clothes. Walk.
But apparently it was like really easy to like run and move around, whereas like plate armor is way heavier. But they did wear them together. And like chainmail, you could repair on the battlefield, like easily by using leather or something like that. Whereas plate armor, you'd have to go to a specialist. Uh-huh. But it did get actually phased out and into plate armor, which is kind of weird. And then of course it was used in as early bulletproof vests.
Oh right, really?
But they found it too brittle, and also like when the bullets went through, it was pretty messy. But they became the precursor to flak jackets. And another thing I didn't know is that in World War One, they wore chainmail fringes on helmets to protect the face from shrapnel, and apparently that worked quite well.
Yeah, you can imagine it's like a version of those hats with the corks on them to keep the flies away. It's like the way more Hundy's version of that.
Yeah, totally. And then, of course, modern day butchers, oyster shuckers, and divers with sharks wear chainmail.
Wow, nice.
And stab-proof vests. One of the most interesting things I found out, though, is that in movies, when you can't afford to make chainmail because it is expensive and takes a long time, like Monty Python and the Holy Grail, they were spray-painted, knitted with wool mail.
Oh, my God. Wow.
So if you're looking for a Halloween costume, you could, like, you know, whip up some knitting, a knitted vest, and spray-paint it.
I know people who have worked on film and television making a lot of chainmail as well. It's a really, it's a really detailed process to create. I also, fun fact for the people listening at home, but Ali Burns of BFM Creative, she makes chainmail as a hobby. Just like,
does she?
Yep, she does.
She does
for fun.
It looks sick.
It's really cool. It's really cool. But you should talk to her about how gnarly it is on your fingers, because I think it takes a toll, and it takes time as well to get it right.
Does she wear it? Is she wearing it as a like Society of Creative Anachronism kind of type thing?
She made a really cool top and wore it to a party one time. That was very awesome.
So it's kind of like disco ball cool.
Very cool. Yeah, I just found a photo of Robin wearing the headpiece that you were talking about.
It's amazing, eh?
It is beautiful. Yep. It's really incredible, actually. It's kind of, I can't think of a less sort of grandma way of explaining it, but it kind of looks like she's wearing a lampshade cover. But if that was really, really cool, like that's what I am sort of seeing with this. Just like pulling it off like only Robin could.
And do check out the collection, because some of the pieces are like not just chainmail that are small. They're like, like Paco Rabanne kind of discs that are joined by links of chain.
Wow.
And they're bright colours, they're unisex, and they just look amazing on
beautiful
the people that have got them. Yeah.
Well, I think we better have a bit of Robin this morning then. I've got Honey lined up because I love this song. Thank you very much, Penelope Noir, for bringing us chainmail today. Have a lovely week.
Thank you.
No, you're not gonna get what you need, but baby, you have what you want. Come get your honey. I got your honey, baby. Every color and every taste, every breath it whispers your name. It's like emeralds on the pavement. Every color and every taste, every breath it whispers your name. It's like emeralds on the pavement. I got your honey, baby. At the heart of some kind of flower, stuck in glittering strands of saliva. Won't you get me right where the hurt is? At the heart of some kind of flower, stuck in glittering strands of saliva. Won't you get me right where the hurt is? And the waves coming in the cold. Sweeter. Ooh, and it's
pressure, suck it up inside like a treasure. Let the brightest place be your passion. I got you, honey, baby. Let go of your doubts, say yes. Let it soak up into the flesh. Never had this kind of nutrition. Let go of your doubts, say yes. Let it soak up into the flesh. Never had this kind of nutrition. And the waves come in and they're golden.
Bit of Robin there with Honey, You're on the B, and we'll be back very soon after the break with another good prize for you this morning. If you'd like to go to Big Fan's birthday party, stick around.
That was Fashion with Penelope Noir.
We are the Goon Squad and we're coming to town. Beep beep.
Beep beep.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B card. Go to 95bfm.com/signup.